the Hollywood Bound Actor Podcast. The number one place to be if you're an actor who wants to book starring roles in film and television. And now your host, the booking magnet, Christine Horn.
Hey, what's up? It's Christine Horn, the Booking Magnet. Welcome back to another episode of Booking Magnet Magic. You are in for a treat today. I know I say that every time, but you really are in for another treat. Today, I'm interviewing Chantal Maurice. She is an award-winning actress and filmmaker. She's booked over 15 television shows, including P-Valley, Queen Sugar, Blue Bloods, Quantico, The Blacklist, and more. She is so sweet. She's also an amazing acting coach. You can find her at CoStar Coaching. But, you know, most recently, you've seen her on Grey's Anatomy, which was such a juicy role. So I'm excited for you to learn about her process, learn about her journey. And she's going to give you some nuggets on how to deal with the ebbs and flows of this industry and just how to stay encouraged as you pursue your dream. So enjoy this interview with Chantal Maurice. Yay, Chantal is here. And we both got our booked shirts on. Is yours in the chair? Is this a chair in your, Oh, this is like a director's chair. Yes, because we stay booked. We stay booked and we pass on that booking energy to people that we meet and connect and work with. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yay. Well, you know, this is Booking Magnet Magic. These conversations have been amazing. I hope you all have been enjoying them. If you're only listening to the podcast, I encourage you to come watch the videos because we're cute. So you should watch us. Well, Chantal, again, and like I say before every interview, don't worry. All the links to Chantal will be in the show notes. You can research her more and find out all about the amazing things that she's doing. But I don't like to take up time doing that in the actual interview because I want to spend time getting to the juicy, juicy stuff. So tell us a little about yourself. How did you get started in entertainment and doing this acting thing? What's your history?
So I have been a wannabe entertainer since as long as I can remember. Like as a child, I never played like games that the kids were playing. Like I was too busy trying to be just writing down the lyrics to Brandy's song, creating my own music video. Like that's just how it is. So I've always like been into acting, singing and dancing as a child. At like age 3, I got approached by the producers of Crisscross to be in one of their dance videos. Like just, I've just always been engulfed in just being a performer. I don't know where that came from, but it's just always been a part of me. So I started taking acting lessons when I was 10. Okay. And I never stopped. Like I started training at 10. I did theater. I went to a performing arts high school focused on theater, college, majored in theater. So it was like, I always knew that this was something, I knew that I wanted to be an entertainer. I have a strong passion for dance as well. And then it kind of became like, okay, I felt more confident in acting because I had the training, whereas dancing, it was just like a natural talent and ability.
It was just in your body.
And I still do it, but because I started training at such a young age, that confidence, that helped me build my confidence in the craft. So it was like, okay, I think I'm going to pursue acting and not try to like go on tour with a hip hop artist or something like that. So that's kind of
that background dancer. I don't know why I'm doing this. I went back to like the 80s and 90s just now.
That's still one of my goals. Like I still want to perform on a stage with a music artist. There's still a goal there, but the acting just took like the front seat.
Yeah, I get that. Especially when you're multi-passionate and multi-talented, you know, like sometimes things take the front seat at different times in your life. And where did you grow up? Where did all this happen?
Yes. So I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised in Columbia, South Carolina. So South Carolina is where I started doing the training. And then I went to college in Charleston, South Carolina. And after college, I moved to Harlem. So I was in Harlem, New York for about 7 years.
Okay. Okay. So after college, were you like, I'm going to New York for my acting? Or was it just like, I want to just go back to my roots? That's where I started.
So yes and no. I actually got an internship. I used to work while I was in school, I worked for Ann Taylor Factory Outlets. And my senior year in college, they introduced an internship at their flagship store in Times Square. It was a fashion internship. Okay. And so I knew I didn't really have experience with fashion, but I knew the brand because I had been working there for 6 months. So I applied for this internship because I knew I had to get out of South Carolina. Like, I didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to do, but I knew that I had to just leave. And so I got that internship, and it from an internship turned to a temp position, which gave me 6 months in New York, you know, with pay. Like, I was getting paid very well, and I was able to stay with a family member in Harlem. So that's what got me going in New York. So I didn't have to go to New York, like, struggling. I was able to go and just kind of, like, take the 6 months to really work and stack up my coins, and then it was... Then I hit the ground running.
Gotcha. I'm we're kind of similar in that story of I'm from the Bronx. I moved to Atlanta in the 90s. Then after I went back to New York for college and I came back to Atlanta to get my union card, like just doing that back and forth. Cause I was like, I need to get my union card. These open calls. This is for those of you who are younger, there was a thing called pounding the pavement where you literally the backstage newspaper, you looked for the audition, especially if you didn't have an agent or if you were non-union, and you would wait hours hoping.
Standing in those lines. Oh my gosh, you'd have to bring your lunch.
All of it. Because you can't leave.
If you leave, your spot is gone.
So. Oh, you youngins don't know. So, you know, I was like, I'm going back to Atlanta to get my union card quicker. So I did a kid show at the Alliance Theater, got my union card, then went back to New York. So had to be strategic. I love that. While you were doing these Brandy reenactments and background dancing in the house, what was that family dynamic like? Were you looked at like, oh, there she go again? Or was that really, really encouraging your household?
So I'm an only child. I'm a mother's only child. I grew up around my cousins, and I'm the only person in my family that is like really interested in entertainment. So it was so interesting because at first everybody was just kind of like, this is interesting. But then after a while they were like, well, she's not going to stop. So I remember like my first, I was really inspired by Robert Townsend, and he just, as a kid, like he had a sitcom, and I just wanted to be, for some reason, I was like, I want to be like Robert Townsend. So I asked my dad for Christmas. I think I was like 10 or 9 years old. I was like, can you get me a camcorder? And he went to the pawn shop and got me some old school cheap thing. And I went to my cousins and I said, okay, I'm going to record you guys. And I need you to say this line. You say this. And they're looking at me like, we're on break from school. Like, we just want to play and have fun. I'm like, but this is fun.
It's
like,
fun.
This is fun. And it was like, no, it's not. It's only fun for you. So it was interesting because I'm the only person, but I'm still raised in a family of love. So even though people quite didn't really understand it, they always support it. They always supported me, even though it was like, well, I don't really know what you're doing, but I'm rooting for you. So
you seem happy with it. So just keep going. I love it. We're so similar. I mean, my brother didn't come along until I was 14. So I had 14 years of doing the Christine Horn show, talking to the dolls. I used my thing. It wasn't with the camcorder. I used to reenact late night talk shows and be all the guy. I was the host. I was the guest. I had the background music from my little tape recorder, right? And my best friend at the time was like, she was an intellectual, loved just reading. So she was like, what do you have me doing? Like, you got to be a guest on my talk show. My late night show.
So you had a talk show. I did radio. So I would be like a VJ and I'd play the music. Like I'd take radio breaks and like make the commercials as well. It's a mess. Both of us are a mess. That's so funny.
We are doing what we were meant to do.
Yeah.
It's so nice to, oh, that's making me a bit of emotional. Just when I think back to what's coming up for me is, and maybe some of you watching this can resonate, the older we get sometimes, the more professional we get and the more polished work we do in the world, I don't always give myself permission to just play. I'm doing better at that. For the past year, I've been intentional about playing what I call playing messy or playing free and just actually calling it play. But the joy I'd have just by myself, not worrying about what anybody thought, I was just creating because that's just what I wanted to do. And it makes me think I've always been a writer. I've always been a performer. I've always been doing this. So when that voice comes up and makes me second guess, like Christine, no one's going to watch that. That's not good enough. Like, it's like, wait a minute, I've always been doing this. And this is, as we are talking about this, I'm seeing myself in my bedroom in the Bronx and I'm seeing the little Chantal with her radio show and like with the camera and the cousins, like it's so, such a beautiful image. And I think each and every one of you who are listening, not everybody started as young as we did, but I certainly know that permission to play is so needed at any age.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? So important because like you said, we get so far away from that.
Yeah. When you were younger and in between, you know, production, when you watched people on TV or on stage or in movies, what was it, the people who you enjoyed most, what was it about them that drew, just made you lean in and lock in on them? What qualities did they have?
I have to be very honest. As a young person watching films and movies, I was just in awe of Black people. I just loved watching Black people. It just made me feel so good inside, and probably because I saw myself,
right?
You know,
that representation.
Representation. So you know, it wasn't until I got older and started doing a little more training where I would watch for other things. But in the beginning, I just loved especially watching Black women. I just always thought Black women are the most beautiful women in the world. And just to see them on TV, really just, I just was glued to the TV. So when I would see like Vivica Fox, I would just be glued because...
mesmerized.
Yeah, it really, I don't even think, it wasn't even about like, you know, the craft per se. I was just so mesmerized by watching Black people on TV. It did something to me. And of course now, like now when I watch certain things, I'm looking for that raw emotion, you know, just, I want to feel something, whether I'm like escaping my daily life and I'm laughing, or it's like, I cry very easily. So it's like, if you get me to cry, I'm locked in with you, you know? So I like to feel that I like to feel raw emotions. And vulnerability. But I'm really moved by when I feel like an artist is being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, as a kid, I just was like, I just love watching Black women on TV.
I love it. Oh, I love that so much. Just the power, and no matter who you are, the power of seeing yourself and a representation of yourself on screen just matters.
Yeah,
it just matters. So important. You know, I remember seeing a show called Mama, I Wanna Sing in New York. I might've been like 8. And it was a little girl. And I was like, I looked at my mom like, I wanna sing too. Like, wow, she gets to do this. Like, and people come to see her. It was so amazing. But I love what you said too about tapping into what feels like raw and vulnerable. You know, I think I find that the things that we are attracted to are the things that we end up borrowing a bit in our own career, in our own art, because that is what we want to see more of. And if we get to try that on and bring that out, I think that just happens naturally. So I have a question for you. What do you, this is my Oprah moment, okay? What do you know for sure? You know, when Chantal walks in a room, when Chantal does a tape or an audition or steps on set, what do you know for sure makes you magnetic? What is your magical superpower? That's undeniable.
Ooh.
That's why I don't give that question ahead of time. The thing you know you bring.
I feel like what I bring is not something that's in my control.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't feel like I bring anything. What it is just God placed it in me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm able to connect with people on a certain level. And I think I'm also able to make people feel seen and heard. But that's not anything that I can take credit for. Like I don't try to do that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that I'm talking about. The thing that we know is just that.
Yeah.
When you step in a room, what makes people draw? What draws people to you?
So I think I have I know that I have a light. I have a light in me because I am a natural healer. So I'm a healer, but healing looks different for different people. So my healing is not in like a pharmaceutical or medical way, anything like that. My healing is more of like soul healing. And I think that there's something about me that makes people feel calm and comfortable. And that's when I'm able to just like, literally I'll get downloads if I'm supposed to say something to somebody, or if I'm supposed to encourage someone, or if I'm supposed to, you know, inspire someone. I don't plan to say these things. I literally just get around people and it starts coming out. And then people, they'll start crying or they'll look at me like, how'd you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. It just, right. I am a vessel. So I am a vessel, and God uses me to help and inspire other people. So I have a way of making people feel seen and, you know, and feel like they're heard. And I think that's something that's just a gift. That's definitely a gift that I have.
I love that. And I know the question can throw people off, but I know that each and every one of us has something magnetic and magical about us within us. You know, and like Chantel just said, it's not something that you will go and rehearse. Like, no, I interviewed Charity Jordan, an actress, and she was like, I know I'm joy. I just, even when I'm not trying, like that's what I bring to the room. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I've known her since she was 14 years old. And like, that is true. No matter what, it could be a funeral and Charity will find a way, not even find a way, just will be the thing that makes us all exhale. You know what I mean? And that's truly a gift. So I love that. And yes to the healing, and yes to you being open and allowing, because that sometimes when people have that gift, you can want to shut it off. Like it can be scary, right? So I love that. Hey, what's up? It's Christine Horn, the Booking Magnet. I am so excited to invite you to our next event. It is called Booking Magnet Live. It's happening in Atlanta, Georgia on July 15th and 16th, 2022. You're gonna spend 2 days surrounded with actors, oh, just like you. Actors who want more, actors who are looking for a safe space, a sanctuary, a safe haven to express themselves, to learn, to grow, and to connect. So I'm excited for you to experience that. Make sure you join us July 15th and 16th. You can click the link below, and I'm so excited to see you there. You know, I'm curious to know, you've been performing for a long time. What paid gig proved to you, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at this.
I will say that came from a character I played. Her name is Cherry Grigio.
Ooh, and yes, Cherry.
Yes, Cherry Grigio. The show is Teenage Bounty Hunters. They had one season. On Netflix, and I play Cherry, the slippery stripper. So this job for me, I was able to use multiple talents. I wasn't only acting, but she's a stripper, so I had to dance. Like, I had a whole dance sequence. But on top of that, I was in a strip club. And me, in my brain, I never ever thought, I'm like, I'm not a slim girl. I never thought that I would be scantily clad with a job. I thought that was for other actresses. I said, well, I don't have to deal with that because I'm not the ingenue. I'm not the, like, right. So y'all have to. So when I had to really step into this character, but she was so fun. Like, she was just so fun. And I felt like, okay, I was made for this. And all of the natural, the self-consciousness, right? The like, oh my gosh, my body, like I'm around so many people. Method Man's over there. I've got Kadeem Hardison that I'm playing with. Like, I'm like all of these thoughts. Once those cameras start rolling and they all just went away. And watching her back, I didn't see myself. Like, I didn't see Chantal. Uh-huh. I literally saw Cherry. So watching it, I was like, yo, she did really good. Oh my, that's me. But that's when I felt like, oh no, like I really am able to transform and to really bring these characters to life. And I love that. Like, I didn't see Chantal, like, even though she's a dancer, she wasn't anything like me. So it's just so amazing to be able to watch your work back and to say like, wow, I really brought this person to life and I don't even see myself. Like I didn't see myself at all. And so I think that was the first time that, number one, I felt like I was able to use all of my strengths, because a lot of the jobs that I book, I'm like, okay, I don't really feel like I get to play.
Right.
And I got to play, and then watching it back, I was like, wow, a whole character, like she's, I didn't see myself at all. So that to me was just one of those moments where I was like, oh no, I am really good at this. I know what I'm doing.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Y'all, if you're watching and listening, I want you to take a moment. If you've had a chance to do something, and maybe yours isn't a paid gig yet, maybe it's something you've done locally, community theater, I don't care what it is, but it's important to look at your, and I know some people like, I don't like to look at my work. And that's your process. That does not work for me, because I want to see my work. I want to see how I've grown. I want to see how I can improve. And honor the work that I did and the preparation that I did, you know? So I love that you were able to see, and the fact that you were like, look at her. Okay.
She did good. She did that girl good.
Yes. And I say, hold on to that. You know, I'm not saying you need this advice, but just as anyone who's listening, hold on to that so that when those auditions come up and maybe you don't get the callback or the booking, you don't start second guessing your value, your worth, your level of talent because you didn't book something, right? Like, remember that. No, I am good. I'm good at this. I do my work. I know how to show up and show out. So this booking that I did or did not get does not define me as an artist, period. And I think that's so important. You know, we've been doing this a long time, and the life of an actor is like, it's like this, it's like an emotional roller coaster, right? Ebbs and flows, the ups and the downs. Can you talk about how you cope when it's quiet and it appears to be slow for you, or it's the coming so close? I remember that. So actually, Teenage Bounty Hunters, I read for a role. I'm not going to say which role it was, but it was a pretty juicy role opposite Kadeem Hardison. And it was down to it. I was told it was down to me only, but then it turned out they went in a whole different direction. Mm. And I just remember being like, seriously? Like, I was like this close, you know? And so those moments sting. Yeah. So how do you deal? What are some tools you use for mindset or to cope with that?
So if you were to ask me this question years ago, I would have said a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo. I would have. Yeah. Now I realize that I have to fulfill my artist and my creative self in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I teach weekly dance classes. I take dance classes because, again, dance is something that fills me up. So I can't always just focus on the acting. And this is just for me. And I used to be in that space where it was all about the acting. I had to book the job. And it drove me insane.
Yeah.
Because it's so much out of your control that it was just too much. So I realized there are so many other things that I like to do and that I get enjoyment out of. I need to start enjoying my time more, because what's for me is not going to miss me. So mm-hmm. in the meantime, I get a lot of those where it's like these callbacks and it's like super, super close. And it's just like, okay. And I used to think about it like, this job is going to change everything.
Right.
It's going to be the job where now I got a driver. This is going to be the job where that's how I thought. But now I literally don't think about it anymore. Like, of course, there are things that I audition for. I'm like, that would be really cool to work on. I really, that would be a great character, a great story. But I really had to focus on relieving that and putting my attention elsewhere. So that's with me dancing. That's with me coaching and teaching other actors. That's with me doing my DIYs, like making, I love candles. So I'm like, I'm spending so much money on candles. I need to learn how to make them. So I'll put some time aside. I'll make some candles, some body oils, as far as mindset, I have a meditation tent that's right here in this room. So I've got this super cool lace tent with these pillows inside and a diffuser and my salt lamp. And I go in that tent and I just meditate, I pray, I sing, I go to sleep. But just really trying to change my mindset, because my mindset was so like, I got to do this. And I think that was for me because I wanted to prove to other people.
Ooh, like, come on.
In my brain, I said, well, I've been doing this for so long. Like, I need people to know that I am the real deal. So I got a book. I got to get this deadline article. I need to do this. And when I sat with myself, I realized, like, you want all of that stuff so that other people can see you in a certain light. But what about just dealing with yourself internally and having that fun internally? So I started with theater. I read plays. I love reading theater. I'll do like readings with my friends, just nothing that's advertised, nothing that's promoted, but I just have to always be doing the work, because like you and I said, as kids, we were creating. So now if we stop creating and just wait for an offer to come through, we're just holding ourselves stagnant. So I had to just release all of that and release wanting to be validated by the world and really just take care of myself. So, hey, today I'm going to meditate. I'm going to do some reading. I'm a journal and I'm going to make a candle, and that's it. And I'm not going to worry about the things that I didn't book, because I truly believe what's for me is for me. Does it hurt? Absolutely. So that's though I have those moments where, hey, I talk to my friends, my core group of actors. We have those moments where we can like vent about certain things. Be like, man, I was so close. Like that sucked. I really, really wanted to book that. I allowed myself to feel those feelings, but then I have to move on. I can't stay there. I have to continue to create.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for being open and sharing that. You know, so many times artists can feel like, what's wrong with me that I feel this way or that I can't shake it off? And we live in this industry. Yes, we need tough skin. And it's just like, you know, I talk about it as, you know, sometimes grieving a loss, you know, loss of, you know, we do all the work before we ever get paid. You know what I mean? And then it's like, oh, okay, well, I didn't get that. And then, oh, next audition. Okay. And you're stacking up years and years of no's, of what feels like rejection. And if we don't sit and honor it too, you know, I was talking to Brittany Inge, and like, we got to honor the feeling. Like, I know I got another audition to do that's due later, but can I sit, just like you said, can I go sit in my tent real quick to just honor that this hurt? You know, I'm a little disappointed, but yeah, I'm gonna get back up because this is what I love to do. And you're not gonna take, no one can take that from me, but you know, many people, you know, I just want us to know, our community to know that it's okay to feel it, process it, you know, and I love hearing about all of that, because also people also want to know, okay, what do you do? How do you get by? You know, look, and I'm the queen of talent therapy, y'all. I stay with a therapist. So get you some help, get a counselor, get a therapist. If you're able to, some are covered by insurance, some are not, find a way. You can also check out the Actors Fund, always has resources that they can connect you with. And I don't take this lightly. Like, this is part of my mission with the work that I do with artists, is like, we got to cultivate and maintain that mental health, because this is an interesting journey that we are on.
Yeah. And it looks different for different people, you know? So I think for me, finding the meditation and the stillness, that's what really helped, because I had, like you said, so much pent up. These when you feel like you're being rejected, and it's like sometimes you wonder, like, I feel like I'm about to go crazy, and I don't know why, because I wasn't able to release those feelings and release that hurt, so I was just keeping it in. But now, just with the rest and the meditation that I'm able to do, I'm able to kind of release certain feelings. And I also do get myself some crab legs. That always makes me feel better. I'm not gonna lie, be honest.
No, look, it's a good comfort food, and it's not too fattening either.
Yeah. Just go eat. Don't do too much butter. You know, you can't do too much butter sauce, but you know, because you do need things to continue to make you feel better. And that's something that makes me feel better.
For me, crab legs is one. And usually, but crab legs are actually more of a celebratory food for me. The comfort food is hot wings. Ooh. Y'all, that's my truth, y'all. Don't judge me, okay?
Yes.
Do you. Everybody got to do what they need to do. Can you think about, and it could have come from anybody, what's some good advice that you've gotten over the years, perhaps from another artist or about being in this journey? Mm-hmm. Has someone said anything to you on set, a mentor, something that you still carry with you in how you approach the work or the industry?
Some advice that I got that took me a while to digest because I didn't want to hear it was the fact that in this business, because it is a business, it doesn't really matter how talented you are. And I did not want to hear that because
it's
it's
hard to hear.
Excuse me. It does matter because I take this very seriously. I take
working
my training
hard.
Seriously. Right. I'm working hard. And to hear that when somebody was like, and this was someone who's in more of like an executive position, so they're not an actor, but they're more of a decision maker. And they were like, you can be the most talented person in the world, but if nobody knows you exist, and that's something that I still fight with it. I still fight with it because I'm like, but I just want to focus on the acting, but learning that, okay, well, focus on the acting, but also yes, and there is a business side of this. Mm-hmm. So I think for so much of my career, I focus only on the craft and I ignored the business side because I'm like, well, my talent speaks for itself.
Right.
So that was something that to this day still sticks with me because I can get kind of stuck and being like, but I don't want to do the business stuff. I just want to focus on the craft. So finding that balance, because I was off balance, I was completely neglecting the business, show business, and I was only focused on my craft of acting. So really just finding that balance of still learning, and it's important to still understand. Like I didn't know anything about contracts. When I would get my checks, like I was oblivious to it because I only focused on the acting. So that's something that I'm still, working on, and I'm still trying to make sure that I have a balance and that I understand what I'm doing because this is my career. So I do need to understand the contracts. I do need to understand what's happening in the union with residuals. And so that's something that I'm a piece of advice that I always knew, but I fought, and now I'm embracing it to just kind of have more of a balance and to learn more.
I love that. And it's real. I mentor a lot of people, and people have a lot of resistance toward social media, and I know you and I are going to be working together soon. It's necessary. And if studio execs and movies and TV shows still advertise, well, we got to too. I purposely keep, it's at the time of this recording, we're getting ready for the SAG Awards. So as a SAG after member, I get, we get the things to watch. And so I keep, if you're watching, you'll see this. I keep all the cards for advertisements for when they're like leading actor and such. I keep these as examples of things that I could do for myself. Right. So, because we always need to be putting ourselves out there and teaching people how to see us. If you've only been playing a certain types of roles and you want to expand, well, you got to show us, you got to prove that you can do it. But you got to let us know. Look, if McDonald's going to still talk about them Big Macs and fries that we know they got all these years, well, we need to show up too. Right. Oprah Winfrey still got ads going on Facebook and Instagram. Well, I need to also.
Yeah.
Because they clearly understand something, right? So, I love that you're working through that, growing through that, embracing it more and more. And you're going to have to too, because I say get used to doing it on your own, because when you are a series regular or the star of a movie with a big budget, they're going to need you to do press. They're going to need you to do more radio interviews. You got to get so used to putting yourself out there and you'll already be prepared. You're already prepared. One last thing before we go, and thank you for being so open and honest with your answers. I want you to imagine, I want you to think about, and I've asked everyone this, think about the seasoned actor watching this at home who's been doing this for 15 plus years probably, but maybe they've hit a plateau, things have slowed down and they're feeling a little frustrated, a little depleted. Think about the new actor who's new and might still be feeling confused and frustrated because nothing seems to be happening. Either one of these might want to throw in the towel, wonder, am I even good enough? Should I even maybe this isn't for me. You know, it's been a lot of auditions. Maybe I just need to just go back, get a job and just, what would you say to encourage these actors?
Ooh, I would say that being an actor is definitely a calling. And I honestly don't think you can give up on a calling, because if God places the passion inside of you, He's going to create the space for you. It may not look like what you envisioned, right? It may look like you said, I may have to go get a job. Well, go get a job. That's okay. I think so many times we feel like in order to be an actor, we don't work a job, we don't do this, all of our money comes from acting and acting alone, and we have these things that we've created about what an actor is and what he or she looks like, and I think it's all false. If in your heart and soul, this is your calling, then act. You don't need permission from anybody. You don't have to wait on validation from a studio or a network to do your calling. Even if you're just, you know, doing some theater or reading a play, you've got to just do it, because the energy will keep going. Work begets work. So you just put that energy out there and some things will happen for you. But I think sometimes we have to reimagine what it looks like, because we think that being an actor is supposed to look a certain way. And when our lives don't look like that, we tend to get discouraged and feel like, oh, well, I don't have the deadline, or I have a part-time job, or I have a full-time job. And that's okay. I don't think that there's one way to do this thing. So I think tapping into your why, but also knowing that God will provide the space for you. You just have to be open to a new vision of it, you know, a remixed vision of it. It may not be what you thought it was when you were in college or when, you know, you first wanted to do this, but it's definitely possible. And I think we've got to take our power back. We give so much of our power away to industry people, agents, casting directors, you know, the decision makers. We give all of our power away, and then we feel so depleted and we feel so hopeless, like, well, I'm not booking, or I'm not working, or I'm not a series regular. But you're still an actor, and you can still do the work. You can still act. It doesn't have to be validated by anyone else. So I would just say to validate yourself and to take your power back.
Take it back. Oh, I couldn't have said it any better. I love that. Take your power back. I'm all about that, because we give so much of it away. Oh, Chantal, thank you so much, y'all. This was so juicy. Make sure you download it. Make sure you take a screenshot of this. Tag us so we let us know what you think. Let us know what you had where you had a breakthrough or aha moment today. Chantal, I'm so excited for all things coming your way, all the blessings, all the bookings. I'm so excited. I love seeing you on my screen. Again, all of Chantal's links will be in the show notes, so make sure you connect with her and myself, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hollywood Bound Actor Podcast at HollywoodBoundActor.com.